NASA is set to launch the James Webb Space Telescope on Christmas morning after decades of development and years of being pushed back. Scientists say the $10 billion telescope could help them see the origins of the solar system and try to detect life on other planets. Learning more now about how the technology works and why the scientific community is excited and nervous about its launch. Andrew Nine is a graduate student in the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Department of Astronomy studying binary stars. His research will use the James Webb Space Telescope if it works as intended. Andrew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Why are scientists like you so excited about this new telescope?
Well, put short, it is an absolute game changer in astronomy. This is very much the successor telescope to the Hubble Space Telescope, which has produced truly top quality science for at least the past 30 years.
And I've heard people talk about Hubble as like there was astronomy before Hubble, and then there's astronomy after Hubble. It's like a dividing point. Do you think it could be the same with the Webb telescope?
For sure. Yes, absolutely.
So what is it doing? What can it do? What are its capabilities that are going to be such game changers?
Yeah, so the real special point about James Webb is that it is specialized to look at infrared light. And the reason that is special is it will allow us to see further back in space and in time than ever before. And it will also allow us to study exoplanets in even greater detail.
Now, this is a lot of billions of dollars put into it, a lot of years mm-hmm. put into it. I imagine a lot of people are going to be biting their nails when the launch time comes. Are you going to be watching in real time, or are you just going to go away for a while and hope for the best?
Seeing as it's going to launch early in the morning, I'm going to be in the camp of I will wake up and hope to God.
Yeah. Talk about the complexity of, first of all, this incredibly delicate instrument and the challenges of getting it from Earth into orbit.
Yeah. So, as of right now, the major limiting factor is the weather in French Guiana. So unfortunately, we are currently in the rainy season in Kourou, where the telescope will be launched. So as of right now, the delays that we're experiencing are weather related. Of course, you can't launch a rocket in lightning or in high winds. And then once you get into space, that's by no means the end of the journey. There are over 300 single points of failure on James Webb, which means there are more than 300 components or processes that if any one of them were to fail, the whole mission is gone.
Talking to Andrew Nine from the UW Astronomy Department, looking at the likely launch now on Saturday of the new James Webb Orbital Telescope, what it could mean for science. Andrew, we know this thing will help us see a long way away. And one of the weird things about space is that helps us see into the past. Can you tell us in a way that I can understand why we get to look into the past when we look a long way away?
Yes. So the reason we look into the past when we look into deep space is because light travels at a finite speed. So because it takes light some amount of time to get from the source that emits it, whether it's a star or a galaxy, to here on Earth, because that light travels at some speed, we're seeing that object not as it is right now, but as it was when it sent off that light in the first place. So when we say something is 1 billion light years away, what we're really saying is we are seeing the light now that it emitted 1 billion years ago.
You study binary stars. First of all, give us a binary star 101. How common are they? What are they?
Yes. So a binary star is two stars that orbit one another. They formed at the same time from the same material. So they're identical in composition and they orbit each other for their lifetimes. As for their frequency, there's an old joke that gets passed around in astronomy that goes that three out of every two stars are binaries. Yeah, so for stars like our sun, it turns out that about half of stars like our sun are in binary. So where we see what we think is one star, there are actually two. For lower mass stars, about a tenth of a solar mass or so, their binary frequency is more like 10 or 20%. And for the very highest mass stars, once you get past 10 solar masses or so, all of them are in binaries, as far as we can tell.
So with Webb in place, what are you hoping to learn about binary stars in particular?
Yes, so I work on a particular kind of binary star called a blue straggler. So these are binary stars that are particularly close together, and one star is a little bit more massive than the other, and the star that's more massive will evolve first and expand. And if it's close enough to its companion, the outer layers of that evolved star will get ripped off and dumped onto the companion. So what you end up with is a star that is way bluer, way hotter than it should be given its age. And you'll have a white dwarf that was the core of the former evolved star orbiting it. Now, what we don't know about this process, and what I hope that James Webb will tell us eventually, is whether or not any mass is lost from the system entirely. That's still one of the great big open questions about this process. So what I'm hoping to see is there material that is leaving this system that has cooled off and is now emitting in the infrared?
Okay, if I'm an astronomer and I want to get some screen time on the Webb telescope, I imagine there's a pretty long line. How does that work?
Yes, so in order to get time on the James Webb Space Telescope or on any telescope, you have to submit what is called a proposal. And this is essentially a document that proves you know what the telescope is capable of and you are going to make good use of this time. And of course, there is indeed, as you say, a very long line to use James Webb Space Telescope. There's only so much time available for observing, and the current proposals right now are accounting for approximately 10 times what James Webb is available to give.
So do you have a thought, like if it goes up, how long will it be? Can you get them to point it at some of your favorite binary stars?
I sure hope so, but that is many years down the line for me.
Well, I guess the good news is this is going to free up all kinds of time on the Hubble, right?
Yes. Now, they're going to be answering different kinds of questions, but yeah, hopefully it does free up some time on Hubble as well.
So apart from binary star questions, what are some of the other things that you're hoping with the Webb telescope in place, big questions in astronomy that this is going to help us answer?
Yes, so this is going to be the best instrument we have to determine whether or not we are truly alone in the universe. So one of the weird things that James Webb Space Telescope would likely be able to detect is plant life. So it turns out that, yes. Now, we're not going to resolve any exo-Amazon, as cool as that would be, but it turns out that chlorophyll, the compound that makes plants green and allows them to convert carbon dioxide to oxygen, also reflects really strongly in the infrared. So if we're looking at an exoplanet in the infrared and we see way more infrared light than we should for this exoplanet, that might be an indication there are plants on that planet that use chlorophyll.
That's exciting. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Andrew Nine is a graduate student researching binary stars at the UW-Madison Department of Astronomy. He's with us today previewing the upcoming launch of the James Webb Space Telescope. Latest bump back to Saturday morning.